This is Ruthie at syndicatednews.net, and we're with Susan Constantine. She takes care of all of those silent messages that we don't know how to interpret in a court. She knows how to read the body language of a juror, or the defendant, or the plaintiff. She can tell what that person is thinking, and what that person is likely going to say, or how they're going to behave. It's a fascinating science and practice. Susan, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for inviting me, Ruth.
This is Susan Constantine from Body Language and Communications Expert, Silent Messages. And I wanted to talk about George Zimmerman's fiasco yesterday and what we think of it and what we don't. For instance, I noticed that I listened carefully to Shelley Zimmerman's 911 tape. Was her father punched in the nose? Absolutely. Was George intimidating Shelley and her dad by keeping his hands on his hip as though he had a gun? Absolutely. That's a behavior that we couldn't talk about during the trial because George was being charged with murder. And his being a bully or being annoying or even being a jerk sometimes had nothing to do with the matter at hand. But now that's all past. Now we can look at those discussions between relatives and coworkers and neighbors who said he was damn annoying. And he's a bit of a bully. Now we can look at that. But does he make believe he has a gun and intimidate? Yes, he did that to other people, not just yesterday. It's not his first rodeo. When he's not in the limelight, he is not happy. Susan, what's your take on this?
Well, what we're looking at here now, Ruth, is pattern behavior. And what we're seeing is a thread between what we saw in the courtroom when we were there, Sanford, Florida, we saw a very soft demeanor in George Zimmerman. But then again, that was somewhat of a mask because now as this new information is unfolding, we're seeing the real George Zimmerman come forward and the form of bullying and intimidation that he used and feeling very comfortable and confident having that gun right there attached to his side hip. And now he's using that to his advantage and he is now using that to intimidate and threaten other family members that are close to him.
Now O'Mara, he was wonderful. He swooped into the case yesterday and he came in with his very fancy technology fellow. The very lovely, charming brunette with the black-rimmed glasses, who's an actual, he's a wonderful technology guru. In fact, if you go to YouTube, you will find him giving seminars. That's how good he is. And they swooped in, and the next thing you know, they threw Shelley under the bus. She forgot that this Teflon exterior that Mark O'Mara paints over his boy Georgie doesn't extend to Shelley. They threw her under the bus. By the time the day was over, what gun? There was no gun. That Teflon exterior doesn't extend to her. It only applies to him. And he doesn't represent Shelley. He only represents George. George, with his acquittal, can sell books, magazines. He could trademark his face. He could do anything he wants and promote himself till the day is over. But it doesn't extend to Shelley. And now that she has publicly declared that, yes, I don't want to answer that question because about whether or not he's violent. Of course he's violent. He's proven it again and again. What say you?
Regarding Shelley or for George Zimmerman?
Both of them.
I'll tell you what my take is on that. Personally, I don't think that there's any evidence that proves that at this point that George Zimmerman had his hand on his pistol when he was talking to his wife. At this point in time, that's hearsay. We know that Mark O'Mara did come in. He came in with his tech people. But at this point of view, I am not going to state whether I think that that's true or not. They are going through a divorce right now. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of heightened anger and frustration that's going on, a lot of emotions that are flying around. And whether she was fearful or not is still you know, debatable. And at this point in time, you know, when I was listening to his wife on the 911 call with her deep breathing, she was obviously very frightened. There's no doubt about it. We know that something took place, but we don't know what actually took place. I do believe that this also is a aftermath effect of this new information, of this divorce starting. But at this point in time, he got away with it. There's no doubt about it. He killed an innocent child. The child was only 17 years old. He got away with murder. We're looking at the same situation where O.J. got the acquittal. But you know what? It's springing back and it's hitting him back in the face, because at this point in time, it's not just the domestic violence. But let's look at the tickets that he's been getting on the highway. This is showing me that he feels invincible, and there's that narcissistic quality that he has, that he thinks that he can get away with anything. And he probably felt that he could threaten and intimidate his wife and she wouldn't do anything. But she did. But at this point in time, until all the evidence comes out, I have to really kind of reserve my opinion before I actually hear all the facts. Did he actually have a gun? Now, here's the thing. Mark O'Meara did admit on national television that he did have a gun, and he had a gun on him at that point in time. But whether he actually used that gun and stated, because we don't have it on any recording, there's no recording that proves that he actually threatened her with the gun. So that could be hearsay.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about. There was no proof of anything.
No. There's no proof.
When it came to the situation with Trevon, the same set of circumstances existed. Nothing could be proven.
That's exactly right. So this is a very unfortunate case, you know, as an aftermath. There's a lot of anxiety, lots of anger and frustration. There's marital issues at hand, no doubt. And quite frankly, if I was involved in this case, I don't think that this is even going to go any further than the front door. I don't believe that there's going to be any repercussion of it. But other than the fact that we're talking about it on national television, in fact, you look at his background, you know, yes, he has an anger issue. There's no doubt about that. There's already been police officers at his home before on domestic violence allegations, okay? There's no doubt that he has a fiery temper, but that doesn't mean that he actually pulled that gun out and that he threatened that gun to kill or to harm or to intimidate his wife or her father. We don't have any proof of that, but we don't know where that came from at this point.
I think Mark O'Meara swooped in to tell them all to shut up and to stop misbehaving, because anything that affects George negatively will affect her as well, and she's still not yet divorced, so she's going to be affected. But in the end, when this is all over and the divorce is final, Shelley will have nothing, and she will have been thrown under the bus, because Mark O'Meara doesn't give a hoot what happens to Shelley. That's not his client, and that's not where he's making his future film royalties from. Let's face it, he's now become a CNN analyst. Come on, he's moving up, and he's not taking dead weight.
Exactly. And Sherry's not his client. George Zimmerman is.
He doesn't
care.
So
we have to keep that in perspective.
Yeah, he threw her under the bus yesterday. By the end of yesterday, O'Meara was telling the public, there was no gun. There was no assault. There was no threat. There was no nothing. And he's got some credibility now that he's gotten good reviews in the papers. And he's using it to his client's advantage.
Right. Ruth, you and I know when we were there in Sanford, Florida, and we saw Mark O'Meara in action. There is no doubt he's a super lawyer. Now as he's a super lawyer, he has climbed to the very highest tops. He is admired and respected by attorneys across the entire country. So what he says has a lot of weight. He has a very soft demeanor in the way he cares. He's kind of what I call a gentle giant.
Yes,
but when he speaks, people listen. And when he moves, people shake. So there's no doubt that he has a tremendous influence in this particular case. He will normalize it, and this thing's going to go away very quickly.
Just like when O.J. had his problem and Kardashian came and took that mysterious bag out of the house, and nobody knows what was in it, remember?
Yes, I do remember that.
I've never forgotten
it. And Ruth, I love being on your show, and thank you so much for inviting me. I'm actually at the airport, and we're going to be boarding.
You've got to get on the plane.
I've got to get on the plane. I do.
Get going.
Thank you so much, Ruth, for having me.
You're welcome.
Okay, dear. Bye-bye.
That's Susan Constantine from Silent Messages. For professional services, it would be Susan at silentmessages.com. 407-405-3417. This is Ruthie from TellMeAtSyndicatedNews.net, and joining me is Aphrodite Jones.
Thank you, Ruthie.
Aphrodite, as you recall, you and I got to cover that trial, and we got to sit in what we used to call the syndicated newsroom at the Sanford Criminal Justice Building. And we it was great having met you and working together. And now George did get acquitted, and now he gets arrested again. Talk to me.
Ruthie, we talked about this off the record back in Sanford, that we really felt that this man was not just a wannabe cop, but really a vigilante and somebody who just couldn't control himself and was out looking for trouble. I believe you and I had a lot of talks about this, and on the air as well, some of it. Here's the proof. What further proof do we need? He's running around threatening his wife and his father-in-law with a gun, and he feels that his manpower comes from gunpowder and that he's some kind of law enforcement. In my opinion, the prosecution overcharged him with second-degree murder. They should have gone for manslaughter, and the jury will have found him guilty of manslaughter. I believe they would have. They were looking for ways to find him guilty of manslaughter. That's why they asked that question about it when they were deliberating. Had the prosecution gone for manslaughter, it would have been lower charge and easier to prove, and then we would not have this guy running around like a madman threatening whomever he pleases with a gun. It's nuts.
And if you recall, before the trial began, during the hearings, several people came forward, including people he had grown up with, who came to give the story of who the real George Zimmerman was. And those interviews were recorded, and they were part of the legal process. And while many new reporters who came at the last minute had never heard those recordings, legitimate reporters who are very professional had never really heard or listened to those testimonies or those reports from people who had worked with him, people who grew up with him, and they are very telling.
Yeah, you're right, Ruthie. And the other thing that is telling that no one really focused on is that his best friend who testified at trial is an U.S. Air Marshal. What does the U.S. Air Marshal do? They go on planes with guns. They're the only people in the world that are around on an airplane with a gun. And that's who encouraged George to get a gun. And that was George's best friend of 5 years. He said so himself. And what do you think that George did all those years with his best friend? Do you think that they didn't talk stories about how cool it is to get on planes and with guns and you know, fight the bad guys? And what? I mean, this was his life. This is why he applied for that ride-along at the Sanford Police Department, which he did, you know, prior to shooting Trayvon Martin. This is why he tried to be a cop in D.C. I mean, his life was all about wanting to be the tough guy, the big kahuna. And nobody looked behind the curtain. You're right. Of the reporters, nobody looked behind that curtain to see that. Even Ruthie, the guy who was his best friend in the world, wrote a book. They interrogated him on the stand, cross-examined him about that book. And in that book, the best friend of Zimmerman says, Zimmerman's account of what happened is that Trayvon grabbed the gun. Well, that's different from what Zimmerman told police. Zimmerman told police he thought Trayvon was going for the gun. So, you know, you have to wonder, why would the best friend get it wrong and then write a book about it and have it in a book in print? I just think that this guy couldn't wait to find somebody to run his venom against. That's just me. It's an opinion. I can't say anything other than the fact that right now, today, with him being arrested for this, I feel as though my point has been well taken. And it's unfortunate because now we have half the population in America really up in arms, and maybe half the population in the world, who knows, with this decision and with what's going on here. I mean,
he pulled a knife on them first, and then when the conversation got worse, then he pulled a gun on Shelley Zimmerman and her father as well.
Well, and here's the other thing, Ruthie, that's weird. When I say half the population, I find it strange that I still get a lot of feedback from people that tell me that George Zimmerman was a good guy and he was protecting the neighborhood. And he made it was unfortunate that Trayvon hit him and he defended himself. There's still a lot of people out there that believe that.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
A lot of people.
Yes.
And I just don't know how they can believe it. If they were sitting in the courtroom and they were watching what we watched and they saw the evidence that the defense attorneys fought to keep out of in front of the jury, and if they saw and they understood what was behind this man, as you say, that the history of this guy, he is not a stable person, and he was looking for trouble. And somehow half the country has got it twisted around, and the jury got it twisted around that Trayvon asked for trouble, that Trayvon was the one who somehow was... No, I believe Trayvon was defending himself. I believe that when Zimmerman said that he said to Trayvon came up to him and said, "What's your problem, MF?" And Zimmerman turned back and said, "I don't have a problem." And then he said, "I started reaching in my pocket for my phone." What do you think that kid thought he was reaching for, a phone or a gun? And what do we know what he was actually reaching for? I'm sure he's going to punch George Zimmerman if he sees that this guy's been following him around, chasing him around, and now he's reaching in his pocket. He's going to let him reach in his pocket for what is a gun?
I also do not believe it. In any case, now it's time for us to revisit those recordings from the people who grew up with him and the people that he hurt in one way or another. Now we've got to revisit those recordings because
this is
the state of Florida, and you know that in the state of Florida we have the Sunshine Law. We don't hide anything. So we will here at Syndicated News be airing those recordings. And as you know, we have Shelley Zimmerman's entire divorce document. It's right here on syndicatednews.net. And we will have today's arrest record. And we will be talking about this on Blog Talk Radio and on Syndicated News.
I do have a function. I'm not sure when how long it'll go.
Gossip.
Give me
gossip.
A call.
Dish. What function is it, and who's going to be there? I hear Suzanne Lucci is going to be there. Who
Susan
else?
Suzanne Lucci and Paula Vaughn and a whole bunch of women from the ID Network, and also Glamour Magazine is throwing this event. So it's a victims advocate event, actually.
Where are you going to be? Do you live in New York City now?
I do live between New York and Florida.
That's right. You did tell us that. That's right. Okay, then. Thank you so much for your courtesy and your grace, as always. I think it's interesting to have your opinion and his people that grew up with him and people that worked with him, because that database was closed since the case was – there was an acquittal, and the case was – it's over. It was over. But I have those recordings. I have them all.
I can't wait to hear them. I can't wait to hear them.
And then when you hear these recordings, you're going to say, "Oh, my God." And I'll tell you why. Because while they're not about murder, and let's face it, you can't use material that's not a propensity of that crime, since they're not about murder.
Right.
But these are unrelated because they were mostly about George Zimmerman's bullying. He is a master bully.
He's a bully, and that was the thing. He thought he was protecting the neighborhood. He wanted to be a hero, and he was going to do that by what? Killing somebody?
Well, don't forget, recently in Florida, we had a fellow that shot his wife and uploaded the picture of his dead wife to Facebook.
Yes, how disgusting. I mean, crazy. Also crazy. And really, I mean, that's just... I don't even have a response for that.
I spoke to his neighbors, and guess what his neighbor said? His name is Derek Medina. He shot his wife, Jennifer Alfonso, and he uploaded her photo to Facebook. And everyone was blurring it out and pixelating it, and I didn't do that. First of all, because this wasn't a horrific crime.
He didn't dismember her. It was just a photo.
No, exactly. And she actually fell back and just fell back. I use the photo as it was because I want people to see what real murder looks like and stop babying themselves. They have no problem watching gore and dismemberment in what they call teenage action movies, but then they have a problem
right.
seeing it on the news. But they have no problem seeing 60 children on a pile that were just killed with sarin gas in Syria. There's no problem looking at that, but they have a problem looking at a dead person because it's a dead person. That's nonsense. And you know what will happen? A year and a half will go by before it's time for Derek Medina to have his trial, and a lot of people will have forgotten that he did that.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Because,
well, we're going to keep that picture at Syndicated News so that people can remember her and not just throw it under the rug and say, oh, yes, he killed her, put his her picture on Facebook. He did it. Don't forget it.
Don't forget it, and don't forget that he was proud of it. And that is
his neighbors said that he was always walking around with a gun in his waist belt because he felt that he was patrolling the neighborhood and keeping them all safe.
I knew you would come right back to Zimmerman, and there you have it.
And I said, sir, would you repeat that? And he repeated it. He said, for years, he's been living here, all the while he's been living here, he walks around with a gun in his waistband, and he's always pulling up his shirt, letting people know he's got a gun there, and he's always calling himself the private neighborhood watchman, and he's always walking around and prowling at 2 and 3 in the morning with the gun in his waistband.
And here's the other thing, Ruthie, that I don't understand. People actually believe that somehow Zimmerman was an appointed watchman and that he was had a job as a watchman. No, he was self-appointed.
Self-appointed, and so was this fella in Miami.
Well, he wasn't voted into office by anybody.
No, no, not
was
at
he?
All. No, not at all.
People have the impression that this man was chosen to be the watchdog. And no, he chose himself, Zimmerman.
He appointed himself, and so did the fella, Derek Medina, that killed his wife, Jennifer Alfonso, in Miami. Same circumstance. Both of them
unbelievable.
Were self-appointed. Both of them carried guns.
But what Zimmerman did and then faced a jury and walked away, that is a travesty, my opinion.
Anyway, thank you, Aphrodite. It's always wonderful having you on Syndicated News.
This is Aphrodite Jones, and I'm here on syndicatednews.net.
We're not sure who the aggressor is. We don't know if there even is an aggressor, per se. And right now, we're just trying to get all of our ducks in a row and figure out what we got.
Okay, and will you be releasing a statement later in the day?
Yes.
Thank you. And this is Officer Hudson?
Yes, it is.
From the Lake Mary, Florida Police Department.
Yep.
And are you in public information?
Yep, I'm PIO.
911, do you need police, fire, or medical?
This is some officer.
Are you police?
Road.
All right, we do have units en route to you, ma'am. Is he still there?
Yes, he is, and he's trying to shut the garage door on me.
Is he inside now?
No, he's in his car, and he continually has his hand on his gun, and he keeps saying, step closer. He's just threatening all of us with
step closer
with his
what?
Firearm. And he's going to shoot us.
Okay.
He punched my dad in the nose. My dad has a mark on his face. I saw his glasses were on the floor. He accosted my father and then took my iPad out of my hand and smashed it and cut it with a pocket knife. And there's a Lake Mary city worker across the street that I believe saw almost all of it.
Okay.
He's sitting in a truck right now. He just showed up here, but my phone died, so I had to call you from my father's phone.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I was trying to get you back, and it kept going to voicemail.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm really, really
have you in the area where you're at, okay? So just stay on the line with me.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what he's capable of. I'm really, really scared.
All right, there are multiple units in the area. All right. This is, this is Shelly, right? What's your phone number that you're calling on now?
Yeah. Oh, the police are here.
Yep, what is Merman doing right now?
He's in his truck. There's police here with their weapons on.
Does he see them?
I'm sorry?
Does he see them?
Yeah, they're telling his bodyguard to get out of the way. Oh, my God. Dad, get behind a car or something. I don't know if he's going to start shooting at us or not.
Are you guys outside right now?
Yes, we are. And the police have their weapon truck. Dad, get inside the house. Doors might start shooting at us. I don't know. We're going inside the house.
Okay, go back inside.
Oh, my God.
Are you guys both inside now?
Yes.
Okay, stay in there, okay? Let the police take care of it.
Okay. He's got his hands in the air. He's not touching his weapon.
Okay. Okay. Is your father in medical?
Dad, do you need medical? He says no, but I think he does. He does need medical. He's shaken. He said he feels like he's going to have a heart attack. His nose. Yes, you do, because your nose looks like it's all... It could be broken. I think he should have a medical, if we can have an ambulance come.
Sure. They will have to stay. They won't be able to approach until the situation outside is secured.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You guys are safe inside, correct?
Yes.
Shelly, you're doing really good, okay? This is a tough situation for anyone, all right? Let's stay on the line with you, all right, until our units can speak with you, all right?
Okay.
All right, are you okay? You said he did take something out of your hand. Do you need medical as well?
I don't think so. Maybe just shock.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get FC to respond, okay?
Okay. Dad, get inside right now.
Make sure he stays inside. Until someone comes and lets you guys know it's okay for you to step out, stay inside.
Okay.
We're getting FBI on the line to come to you, all right? But like I said, they can't come up to check out your father until they secure the scene, okay?
Okay. Hold on one second.
Okay, Shelly, take a couple deep breaths for me, all right?
Someone's in there?
Excuse me?
There's this woman in there. Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Shelly?
Like mirror to Charlie 10. Are you 1025 with the complainant?
Okay. 1026.